You're listening to Control Click Cast. We inspect the web for you. Today, we're talking about managing events and calendars in Expression Engine with special guest, Jay Barkley. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
This episode is sponsored by EE Coder, the EE experts who play well with others. Do you sometimes wish you had a trusted partner for your projects? EE Coder has been providing reliable Expression Engine development, consulting, and maintenance to companies with needs like yours since 2007. Add our experience to your team. Say hello at eecoder.com.
Control Click would also like to thank Pixel and Tonic for being our major sponsor of the year. Hi, Leah. How are you doing?
I'm enjoying the last remnants of summer. I can't believe it's September.
I know. It's already been a blur. It's
yeah, so I'm kind of counting down to my birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up soon.
And speaking of birthdays, happy early birthday to you as well.
Yeah, I know. 2 days away, and then I'll be 1 year from 40.
Wow. Wow.
I know. It's sort of mind-boggling.
Time flies. I have no idea how it happens.
I know. It's crazy. So speaking of the last remnants of summer, has Seattle delivered a good summer since you moved there?
You know what? It's been fantastic. You know,
Nice. Yeah,
a lot of people, you know, always talk about how it's rainy and everything, and I'm sure that's coming for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But this summer has been so perfect. Like, I can count on one hand how many days it actually rained.
Mm.
And it's been like really brief, nothing like huge or a big deal. And it was beautifully sunny the other day. I think it was like 80 degrees Fahrenheit or whatever the other day.
Nice.
And in some ways, like, because I'm new to Seattle, it feels like I'm still vacationing, you know? Like, I went to the beach the other day, you know?
That's great, though. I mean, I've spent summers in Seattle as well. I have family and friends there, and it is really just beautiful. Those 3 months in summer are just some of the best weather on the planet.
Yeah, because it's so mild. Like, it's it's warm, but not too warm. It's not that humid. So just a great summer. How about you?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, it's typically hot. Like, it's always hot here in summer. It's one of those things where you need, if you want to go for a walk and you don't want to die, you need to do it before 8 a.m. But yeah, it's starting to get, I can sense that fall is around the corner. We had a nice monsoon season. We had about, I don't know, a month of pretty regular rain, which is really nice here. And when I say regular rain, I mean, we'll have like an hour of rain.
Yeah.
But for about a month, we got some good rain, which is nice.
No, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm happy that fall's around the corner, though. It's my favorite season here. I think fall in New Mexico is just unbelievable. Just incredible.
Yeah. I love fall in general, too, even back in Canada. It was just too short back in Canada. It was basically, Canadian weather is like basically winter, spring/summer for like 2 days, and then winter again. But when there's like that little transition period, I just find like the crisper air and the changing of colors just, it's so awesome. And of course, like, you know, my birthday, so it always feels like there's a little bit of a transition to celebration.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, it's fall. How beautiful.
I know what you mean. We're both Virgos, so.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk about a little bit of news. There's been some Expression Engine news, I guess, the past week or so.
Mm-hmm. So like the biggest thing is EE 2.7 is out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to this. I'm very interested in trying their grid field type and seeing how it compares to what I've used in the past, which has primarily been Matrix. Some of the other things that are included in the update, I'm not so sure where they're going to fit in with me, but Safecracker is now in a channel form.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. They're also incorporating new Relic for monitoring performance.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to really appeal to a lot of the enterprise and high traffic sites out there.
I haven't taken a look at the change log to see what bug fixes have been done, but that's on my list to do later today and just see where we stand with some things.
Yeah. So far.
You know, I was going to say this update, it came at a time when I have a client that requested a week ago to update their Expression Engine version from like 3 something or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And I was going through their add-ons to see where we stood with add-ons. And I find it really frustrating when add-on developers don't provide a changelog.
Yeah.
Because then there's no way for me to have an at-a-glance view of whether they've updated anything for a new EE version. Mm-hmm. Like some do, but not all of them. And that was really frustrating. So if you're an add-on developer listening, please put a changelog out there.
Yeah. And I think maybe even in just terms of changelog stuff, those that do have them, they mention like date-based changes, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. like make sure that you also explicitly say this is compatible with 2.6 yes. or 2.7, or this has been updated specifically for this EE version.
Yeah. It's really critical if you're getting ready to do an update for a client on an old system who has add-ons from that are perhaps old. I don't know if we're ready to do an update because I don't know where we stand with our add-ons, or at least half of the add-ons I looked at yesterday during my audit. So
yeah, still though, it's a good exercise to kind of like wait and see a little mm-hmm, bit to mm-hmm. see how the community reacts and how updates have been going, and if you've got low risk sites mm-hmm. to update, or like local update tests and things like that, do that before you try to upgrade your other like client sites and stuff. So yeah.
So we also had some other pretty big news in the EE community. Lo announced that he's moving his add-on sales exclusively to Devotee.
Yeah. So this is pretty much, I would say, the second major developer to mm-hmm. exclusively move their entire store to Devotee.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, that's where I go.
Yeah.
When I need an add-on, I go to Devotee first. And depending on, you know, where the documentation is, the support form or whatever, I may go to the add-on developer site. But I really love how Devotee manages licenses, also makes it really easy to transfer licenses.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is just mm-hmm. the repository aspect that we can have access to all our add-ons in one place and mm-hmm. be able to transfer it to clients very easily.
It's one of those kind of moves that I like seeing because it shows that there's still a huge commitment to the add-on development, the EE community, mm-hmm. and kind of integrating all those into a major resource to make it even stronger. I'm excited about it. I'm glad that Lo made that decision.
Cool. Yeah, me too.
All right, cool. So let's get to today's episode. We're talking about working with events and calendars in Expression Engine with Jay Barclay. Jay is a web designer, developer, and educator. He founded and runs EJ Design, which specializes in EE-driven sites and Magento e-commerce. Jay also runs Create.ee, which provides online web design training, including beginner through advanced Expression Engine topics. Welcome to the show, Jay. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you, Leah? How are you, Emily? It's good to join the podcast. Obviously, I've been a loyal listener, and it's an honor.
Thank you. That's great. So before we move, sorry.
Yeah, and also, you know, by the way, I'm also counting down my birthday.
Oh,
you guys are talking about birthday.
When's your birthday?
Next March.
Oh, okay. 6 months from now?
I'm still counting it down. I have a calendar that counts down every day until March next year.
Nice.
But anyway, it's great to join you guys.
Thank you. So before we move forward, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the introduction. We run EJ Design, which is our own studio that me and my wife runs. She's the boss, obviously. And we have two other developers in-house. So there are four of us all together. And we were in New York City for about a dozen years or so before we moved down to lovely Austin, Texas. I still can't believe that I actually have a Texas zip code. You know, I lived in Boston and New York, so I'm a Northeastern guy. And it's pretty shocking still. Once in a while, I said, hey, I live in Texas, of all places. So we actually just focus on doing a lot of Expression Engine sites and also Magento on the e-commerce side. And also, Emily and I have talked about teaching EE and education in general before. And and we've started Create.ee about 3 years ago. And it's been pretty wonderful. EE's been great. And I always tell folks that, by the way, I also do a free webinar every month on people who actually have not yet worked and who are curious about it. So we have anywhere from 30 to 100 people joining us.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It's great. And it's I've been doing it at least once a month ever since for about 2.5 years. And you know what it gives me also is that kind of the questions that they ask, it gives me kind of an insight into what people mm-hmm. are looking for when they're choosing Expression Engine mm-hmm. versus some of the other platform, because obviously not all of them actually choose EE for their platforms, but they're certainly evaluating EE against, you know, Drupals of the world or WordPress or Joomla or what have you. So it's been great experience to run Kriti. And, you know, we thought about changing the name because it was a fad to actually have everything end in dash.
Yeah.
It was
kind of an
inside joke. But I already designed my logo. So, you know, hey, I can change the logo that I designed. I got to keep the name.
So speaking of Kriti, why did you create it?
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, we first learned EE when we were doing actually a big evaluation on all the CMSs that we were looking at that point. And when we first opened the studio about 7-8 years ago, I didn't know anything about EE, to be honest with you. And we actually did a survey, actually stopped work for about 2 weeks, and we did nothing but evaluate CMSs at that time. Yeah, and it was really critical because I came from an agency where we were doing, you know, basically huge projects for Fortune 500s. And I was lucky enough to work with those enterprise level, quote unquote, projects. And, you know, where I had $50,000 budget for a CMS or $100,000 budget for a CMS. Well, you know, when we opened our studio, I had maybe $1,000 budget, if yeah. maybe, right? So we evaluated and it was really critical and we came across EE and we absolutely fell in love with it because it didn't have the issues that we had with some of the other CMSs. So we love EE and it really helped us get our studio off the ground. But, you know, after a while, you know, I also have kind of, you know, what I'd call the itch to teach, which means if you're a teacher, you just love teaching. You just want to do it and you actually make opportunities to teach. One thing that I didn't mention was that when we were in New York, I actually ran a meetup group where I would go and actually have a live seminar. And anyone can join. It wasn't really all about EE, but about web design. And, you know, these folks weren't ever going to be my clients. They're small business owners with much smaller budget than what our studio was looking for. But I had, you know, maybe 30 people, 50 people join me once a month. And it was a lot of fun asking and answering basic questions about how to handle web design. You know, these are people who have, you know, sometimes they'd have a $2 million annual sales and they had no idea how to run their websites or who to hire or how to hire. So that was a lot of fun. And I had about 700 members there and it's still going.
Wow.
And you know, it's that itch to teach, right? But the other thing was that there was really kind of a gap. And I thought it was a good opportunity because, you know, Ryan Island, obviously a highly respected member of our community, had, although back then he didn't call it Majingo, but he had his screencast through EE Insider. But those were recorded casts. And we also had Michael Boink, who were doing in-live seminar workshop type. And there was really no one that was doing live online courses. And I thought that was kind of a nice place for me to actually kind of fit you know, our kind of service in. And it worked out, you know, pretty well. And also, I'd got to be honest, and you know, when we did Kriti, we knew that it also helped our agencies, our brand new studio, EJ Design, on the agency side, because we actually didn't really, you know, we weren't really well known in the community, but we thought it'll help. And I think it did. Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that you spent about 2 weeks evaluating different CMSs before you really fell in love with Expression Engine. During that process, did you find any other CMSs that you use on occasion, or is EE just the right fit for the kind of projects that you choose to work
with? Oh, yeah. In fact, we actually surveyed and literally installed and tested out. We actually built a small mini site on every single one.
Oh, wow. My God. Wow.
Yeah, and it took about, in fact, we actually stopped all paying work altogether for 2 weeks. And this is what we did because it was so critical for our business. And to be, well, basically, we actually didn't find anything else. In fact, we were doing work in WordPress, Drupal, and Joomla. And we actually stopped accepting all other work that wasn't EE. And I think this was our thoughts behind it. It was a big risk. It was kind of a make or break. But we always felt that, you know, if for some reason we didn't make it, I mean, it's tough to make it in New York City as a new business. And, you know that saying about in New York about, you know, where for every 10 restaurants that open, 9 fail within the first year or year and a half. Well, I've kind of feel that way with web design services in New York. There are a lot of freelancers. There are a lot of people who break out on their own who just don't survive.
Sure.
And so it was a critical decision for us. But to be absolutely honest, we knew that we were confident enough in what it did and allowed us to grow with EE. And we literally stopped, you know, not long after we finished the projects they already had on Drupals and Joomlas and WordPress. And, you know, nothing bad to say about any of those platforms. But for us, it really was the right fit. And we really did. We stopped all of the work on it. We, in fact, we turned away work on Drupal. on WordPress. And in fact, when a client would come in and say, you know, I want to do this in Drupal, and I would say, well, Drupal's great, but have you considered EE? And more often than not, that I'd say, oh, you know, I didn't know anything about EE. Let's go with EE after talking to us a little bit. So, yeah, mm-hmm. to this day, we are an exclusive EE shop, except on the e-commerce side where we do Magento. And we've been a certified partner of Magento for a number of years. Now, this may change in the coming future because we are very much interested in craft and we like the direction that it's going. We're still very much committed to EE, but craft might be the only candidate that came along, if you will, in the last several years that we may look in and make it kind of our co-platform of choice.
Cool.
Interesting.
That's very impressive. And I think it probably makes it a lot easier to pitch something to a prospect when you may be pitching Expression Engine, but you have the reference for all of those other content management systems. So you know, if someone's coming to you and they say, we want Drupal, you have reference for what Drupal means to a project, and you can educate that prospect on what would actually be the best solution for their project.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there were, especially early on when we did not have such an impressive array of add-ons for EE, there were sort of those painful moments where I realized that EE just could not do the job, and because the add-on wasn't available. Mm-hmm. Or, to be absolutely honest, because we weren't that experienced in EE, you know, early on. So
sure.
We turned it over. We had to turn it. And I tell you, that was painful for our pockets because every dollar would help our business stay in business and also to grow. But, you know, when I think about it, and we, you know, my boss, my wife, my partner in our business.
CEO/.
You know, we talk about it once in a while. We go, you know, that was the best and the dumbest decision we've ever made.
Nice.
Because when I think back on it, I couldn't believe that we actually did it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We actually turned away projects because we knew that we'd, you know, but you know, it's really a survival thing because we had to specialize. We can't be one of the hundreds of Drupal developers. We couldn't be one of thousands of WordPress developer. We had to be, you know, we had to sort of, you know, draw the line in the sand, if you will, and say, okay, we're going to be known as Magento providers and EE providers and kind of roll with it. And again, thank goodness that it actually kind of worked out.
So let's talk about some of the projects you've worked on, specifically some of the calendar and or event projects, since that's our topic today.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the commonalities amongst these projects in terms of calendar and event management?
Yeah, well, obviously, when people are talking about events, they could be talking about a lot of a number of different things. Mm-hmm. So I think what we want to do, I'm sure this is what a lot of other developers do as well, is to kind of talk to that person and the client more about exactly what they're looking for. And again, going back to recommending the right tool for the job, we want to make sure what the range of scope is and say, okay, you know, if you're doing event management, I'm looking to do XYZ. And then the more you're familiar with the solutions that I'll be talking about today, namely Sourcebase Calendar and Low Events, then you could say, okay, it fits within that or it doesn't fit with that. And, you know, sometimes you may have to say that, okay, you know, so far with EE, we can't do XYZ, right? So when people come to us, because now we actually, most of the clients who come to us actually know, come to us because we do EE and they know us and our experience in doing EE stuff. They say, okay, you know, I want to stay with EE and I want to expand on it. I want to build a brand new site on EE. You know, what are the kind of the functionality that we could do? And they could actually describe their wishes and desires in terms of, you know, I want a calendar that does this, or I'll have a set of events that need to be able to be scheduled in this manner. And I say the most common thing that they want is obviously a monthly calendar or a weekly calendar. And that's very typical. But if you talk to your clients more, they probably have a lot of other things that they didn't know that was possible with EE. For example, a good case study is actually a Film Forum, which is actually a pretty famous, I guess, in New York City. If you live in New York, it's an independent movie theater. It's been around for a really long time. It has a beautiful theater right near Soho on Houston Street. And in fact, I used to go there all the time because they don't show any mainstream movies. They show classic movies or brand new documentaries or foreign films. And, you know, that's one of the benefits of working in New York, is that sometimes these great places that you go to, sometimes they become your clients. But, and because it's such a unique site, it's a movie theater, and you actually have to go ahead and schedule out 1 year worth of movies. Mm-hmm. And although that's not a common thing, but the common part of, I think, what the clients will tell you is that they would have a standard list of their default wishes. But almost without fail, what they'll have is, okay, you know, after I have the monthly view, then they would actually throw in something like, well, can I also have a weekly view? You know, can I have like a mini calendar on the weekly side? And then you could say, yes, we could definitely do that. And you could show them examples. So I say, in, you know, not just commonality and let's say just your functionality, I say, you know, calendar is one of those things where you have to kind of peel back the layers a little bit, just like e-commerce, and kind of keep asking questions and what they really want to do. Oftentimes they will not be able to articulate what they want, which is kind of common. You know, if you have clients who are fantastic managers, they're fantastic business owners, but they just don't, are not really used to the vocabulary that you and I use as developers. So you have to ask, you know, common tongue, but because I've been watching too much Game of Thrones lately. Or rewatching it for the third time. So totally you have to ask in, you know, plain language, right, about what they want. And again, they will tell you more about what they need to have, and then you can make the right recommendations. And in fact, when you do, it's not necessarily, oh, you know, well, low events can do this or low calendar can do this. It's really to make sure that to eliminate those projects that are not the fit for EE. For example, once in a while, you'll say something like, well, you know, you almost got the project, you're almost doing the project, and you're excited and they're excited. And then at the last minute, they'll go something like, okay, can I then go ahead and make a reservation system? Because for the clients, that's a very logical jump between events and reservation systems. But it is actually very different to do an event management site versus a reservation system, right? Reservation system, in fact, we have had a chance to work with another client whose platform actually wasn't in EE, and their reservation system was this custom program that apparently a lot of certain industry use, and that's what they use because they need to connect with other systems. It's not just the functionality of making reservations, right? Because when we talk about reservations, we think about, well, you know, if we reserve a hotel room, You know, nights from September 3rd to 5th is all booked up. Well, that's easy thing. And you go, well, why can't we go from calendar to that? And then the answer is no, because if you have a reservation system, it needs to fit into an e-commerce system most likely. And in fact, it may also fit into any other kind of third party, maybe a booking system for their particular industry and some sort of a third party custom software. So a lot of other stuff are involved. So when someone says that, you immediately have to say, that's something that's outside of the scope of what we can do, right? So it's really to make sure that it's not a matter of what you can do for the client. Sometimes you have to ask questions to make sure that you know, you're not taking on a project that you cannot do for that particular client.
So when it comes to something like a registration system or a reservation system that requires some level of e-commerce, is there a way to utilize EE with Magento, with Soulspace, Calendar, or is that one of those situations where there's not a way to integrate Expression Engine with something that supports an event commerce?
Yeah, and unfortunately, again, this might be my lack of awareness of a solution that's out there, but right now there is none without a lot of custom work. And the big difference here is because of membership. What things like Heartthrob or Brilliant Retail or Express Store, what they offer is for the members, for your customers and paying clients to be members of Expression Engine, right? Well, unfortunately, with some of those reservations, in fact, most of the reservation systems, the customers need to be in some other platform because it also ties into their CRM, what have you, right? And because of that, it's very difficult, if not impossible. So I say, although this may not have been what we're, you know, may have already thought at first about why, you know, this cannot work, it's not that we can't really link, except for the reservation side, because there's also a ton of other logic that goes into making a reservation system. But when it comes to e-commerce and EE and calendar events, it's really the membership and the customers. Now, if you have a client that says, you know, I don't really care, you know, I'm running a mom and pop, you know, bed and breakfast, and I have a very, very, very simple reservation needs where it kind of, you know, through some queries, just checks off, you know, the dates and gives you sort of a yes or no answer. And I could do all of the checkouts through, you know, Brilliant Retail, for example. Mm. And then, yeah, it might be a possibility. But even then, you know, it doesn't work out of the box. There's still that custom bridge work that needs to be done in checking those dates to make sure that they weren't filled, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, again, at least in the solutions that we've worked with, there's still out-of-the-box mechanisms to do that. And that sort of rules out the reservation part of it. And because of that, it also cuts out the e-commerce part of it immediately. Now, I actually call it the Holy Grail. In fact, when I was talking about calendar on Engine Summit, one of the last slides that I had was that, you know, I wish that, you know, in one of these days, there would be this kind of Holy Grail where all of the forces come together, right? Where we can have events plus some sort of a reservation mechanism, plus a hookup to CRM, plus hooking up to Brilliant Retail / Express's store and or Carthrob. And, you know, we actually don't do any add-on developments, and I wish that that we could take on something like that. But from my experience, it's a significant undertaking. And, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure what the market would bear if they would actually pay you back for the time that you invested in making that connections. So I think, which is kind of a drawback, I think in working with a you know, as much as we love EE, it's still, you know, it's not a, and it's not WordPress. It's certainly not is Drupal. And I think, you know, although we have a lot of pride in working with EE, you know, a lot of folks actually may view EE as, you know, a secondary CMS, not in terms of feature, because they're always shocked when they know about EE. But, you know, if you look at, you know, search traffic, you know, EE just doesn't compete in terms of, you know, what people are looking for, unfortunately, right? What that also means is that, you know, unlike Magento, who is kind of the de facto king, if you will, of e-commerce, there are a lot of people making a lot of add-ons that will serve some of those niche needs of your clients. So, in fact, there is a reservation plugin for Magento. There is a really several ERM hookup plugins for people who are doing this type of stuff. We just don't have any. I'm not even sure if the market would bear it.
Well, what I'm interested in is, if a client does come up to you and they've got calendar event stuff and then they throw the bomb of, can you have a registration at the end, and you're almost ready to sign the dotted line, do you just have a third party service that you generally try to hook up to the event calendar? Because what I tend to see, like, or at least this is just my anecdotal observations, is when people give, quote unquote, give up over how to do something super custom with EE, they just use something like Eventbrite.
Oh, sure.
And then just attach whatever that is and just give the client a tutorial over, you have to use this one, and then plug in the embed code here.
You know, we've done that. And even, in fact, we've even used Eventbrite ourselves. And I love the platform. And Eventbrite is great for what it is. But again, it might be a, what's the phrase? Kind of the breaking point where if the, again, it comes back to members.
Yeah.
If the customers who buy the events, if they need to be, you know, inside EE, then again, it's out of the question.
Yeah.
Because then you are dealing with two different separate membership databases. Yeah, sure, you could build in, you know, you could use the EE's utility tools and do it, or you can actually go ahead and do a custom little build where, you know, uses, I don't know, maybe JSON data or XML to, you know, automatically or semi-automatically sync a third-party CRM data with their members to that, or you could build in some sort of a manual import-export. But again, e-commerce is so real-time that it needs to happen pretty much, you know, at the second that someone makes a purchase, that then I say, you know, then is my wish to keep this project and keep the client as attractive and kind of, you know, as attractive as it may be to grab that project, am I doing this person really a service by kind of trying to, you know, go around or have so too much of a complex workaround? Sometimes the answer is no. And it's not just because of goodness of your heart. Then we, at least for us anyway, then we go, okay, the time and effort that we're going to take to educate the client and to teach another third party, and then you know, we don't keep up with Eventbrite.
Yeah,
we don't know what the new features are. Then I have to now study. If they ask a question in the middle of a project, now I have to actually go and research what he can and cannot do. Is the project ready for that, or am I better off as a, not just ethically, but also financially and for the survival of our business, is it better to just say no and take on those projects where you have done the project at least two or three times, if not dozens of times before, right? Mm-hmm. So We tend to go with letter, and I think again it has paid us back in multiple, because that client, you know, may go away, but you know, he or she may recommend somebody else. You know, these guys were actually honest about what they can do, what they cannot do, and you know, if they do that, then sometimes that's better than grabbing that project that's you know, in front of your eyes. That may be very attractive. I understand.
All right, so let's talk about Expression Engine specifically. Let's start by talking about what it offers for event or calendar management natively, out of the box.
Sure. And this is the painful part of our podcast. Because what you see, in fact, this was my impression. When I saw, remember the old 1.x initial build? And you have that strange kind of tan, was it tan or green or pea like, green or what?
It's like a blue, right?
Like blue or whatever it was. You know, that, remember that site that was the default install?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're really going back memory lanes here.
Yeah.
And then on the sidebar, there was a calendar.
Yes.
Right? Calendar looking calendar. I go, and I got duped. It's like, comes with calendar. That's awesome. Well, we all know that it's not a calendar. Well, let me put it this way. It basically shows, what it's actually doing is it shows entries that have a certain entry date, and it checks against that each date. And sure, it has a little tag that actually outputs a calendar, what I call a view.
Yes.
Right? A monthly view, but it is not a calendar. Because in order to answer that, let's define what a calendar does. A calendar, in the way that Low Events does it or Soul Space Calendar does it, means that you have to have a certain things. None of these things are possible with EE natively. So that's why it's a painful point, because you know, we all know what we have to go through to make custom member profiles, for example, right? Mm-hmm. For EE, where because the native EE member module does not allow anything more than the three very basic field types, namely text input, text area, and select, you know, drop-down menu. If you have a member profile that goes outside of that, in fact, which is every one of our projects, you have to do a manual solution, or you purchase an awesome add-on like Zoo Visitor. That's the only way to do it. Well, same thing with events. The native way of doing it, and it really hasn't changed. You know, just like the member accounts field selections and choices haven't changed since 1. Whatever. Very much the same with the calendar. It has not changed. And in fact, I'm glad, although this may sound sort of ironic, I'm glad EE is not touching it, because I still believe in EE's core principle of, you know, besides the whole thing with Pixel and Tonic, which I won't get into, of basically, you know, focusing on the EE's own native functionalities, right?
Yeah.
And the core system. And I don't want EE developers to work on calendar. I don't want them to work on what Zoo Visitor has already worked on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to go back into history a little bit, there was in the one next days, there was this little add-on called Repeat with two E's, right?
Yeah, of course.
P-E-E-T, right? And sounds like you've used it as well. And what that did was to bring a new functionality that was one of the basic requirements of having an events management set, which is a repeatable event.
Yeah.
If I talk about it the other way, natively EE cannot do repeatable events. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by repeatable events means, you know, repeating rules may be one of several kinds. You can have a rule that repeats every Sunday, for example, or every Saturday and Sunday. Or you can have a rule where it repeats every day from, you know, September 1st through until my birthday in March 7th. Hint, hint. Or any of those, or every Saturdays, or once every year. Those are repeatable rules and logic. That is really the foundation and one of the basic requirements having an event management site. So having to make the long story short, natively EE cannot do it.
Yeah.
You have an end date, you have a begin date, we all know what they are, and that's it. And the native calendar, which hasn't really changed, is not really a calendar. It's really showing you the entry dates in a calendar-like view. That's what
grid, right?
A grid, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And because of that, we're saying, you know, is yelling at this screams of joy when we discovered Repeat, because we couldn't do even the simplest of calendar things. I mean, what client would come to you where every event lasts exactly, you know, from one day to another day and that's it, right? Nobody. So when we had Repeat, in fact, we were actually doing a site for a fairly major site for the city of Hartford, Connecticut called riverfront.org. And they had a calendar. They loved EE. In fact, they were going to go with Drupal. We talked them out of it. And we did it in Indy. One of the reasons why we were able to get that project was because we found this brand new thing called Repeat, right? This was many years ago, and we were doing still 1.x work. So yeah, natively, unfortunately, because I don't want EE to work on it, but unfortunately, because again, a lot of folks actually like it when the native is, you know, the functionality is actually in native, EE cannot do what we define as calendar out of the box.
And so that's why you turn to Low Events and Soul Space Calendar?
Yeah, in Soul Space Calendar, again, someone would probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I think came earlier than Low Events. Yeah, in fact, you know, we started to work with Soul Space Calendar pretty much right away when it first came out. In fact, right after Calendar came out, the developer, which I'd like to thank for, stopped developing and basically says, hey, finally we have something that we can all use, which is Soul Space Calendar. And in fact, if you actually kind of Google Repeat, R-E-P-P-E, R-E-P-E-E-T, then actually has a little nice little blurb about Soul Space Calendar. So
what does the Soul Space Calendar option bring to the table?
Yeah, and obviously Soul Space and Lowe's solutions have bring, again, fill the basic requirements, right? So for example, they have tags, dedicated tags to give us the different views. And when I say views, again, it could be a weekly view, it could be a monthly view, it could be a daily view of events. It could also do some filtering. They all work with categories even. So if you have a...
So you're talking about like the user interface that's on the website, these views?
No, these views actually are the front end.
Yeah, okay.
Literacy, right?
Okay.
On the back end, user interface, just actually I took kind of go back there a little bit, and then I'll come back to the front end views. On the back end, both of those add-ons would give you a unique field type. So for Soul Space Calendar, it gives you a certain field type. For Low Events, that's all the same. And that's when you would actually go ahead and add your logic and the rule for that particular event. And also, obviously, the good news is that any entry can be an event. You don't have to have a specific event channel, which is good news.
Hmm.
And you can actually have a series of events that come from multiple channels. And
That's
why for some, yeah, and in fact, for Soul Space Calendar, it makes it really easy because as long as that channel has the calendar field type, that channel automatically becomes an event channel on the side. So what that means is you can add, and this is the same for Low Events as well. You don't have to start with Low Events or Soul Space Calendar. You could have an existing site, add the custom fields, and now you can add those entries as events and show them using the custom tags that both of those add-ons give you. So you don't have to have it. Like if you have a maintenance client or client that you've been working with for a while and they love you and they love working with you and they love the site that you've done and they may even like you personally, you know, sometimes not the case. So what they want to do is they say, hey, Jay, I hope all of my clients like me personally. I don't know. They say, you know, hey, I now want to add a calendar. And you could say, hey, that's great. And you could at that point create a custom channel or you could work with the existing channels and turn them into, again, events. So that is one of the things that you could do on the back end. It's just the custom field. In fact, the back end is much, much easier to deal with, than let's say the front end work. Because the front end work, there's a lot of logic to be built in, right? Again, to go back to the film forum example, and I just keep going back to that particular site because I had the most layered requirements that I've probably ever seen in calendar specific, for sure. Even in some of the other EE sites, I just never realized how complex scheduling for a movie theater might be. I think maybe I should have. I thought, well, you know, this movie just plays on a certain days and it has, you know, certain show times. Yeah, no problem. It's very complex. Because each event can be a different event type that the client would tell you. It could be in a category. And the output of it can also vary depending on the type of movie. It has all kinds of crazy scheduling, and maybe possibly because it's not a mainstream movie theater where, you know, one movie starts someday and ends someday. But we also didn't realize at first, although we resolved all of these issues, things like 2-for-1 movies. What do you do if you have two events that need to go on at the same time, which means it's actually a group of events? So how do you handle a group of events but present that as a single entity or single entry page on the site?
Mm.
So then you have to go into things like you would go ahead and define the dates for each of those events or entries. And then what you'll do is you'll go ahead and add a player field from Pixel and Tonic, obviously. And then each of those other movies that are being related to that group entry, which defines the group of movies, they all have dates and they all have independent dates. So again, instead of getting more into more technical stuff, there are ways to go ahead and fulfill some of these more complex requirements using native add-ons. And, you know, we're at this point where, you know, by using either of the wonderful add-ons that we haven't seen on event side, unless it has to do with reservation systems, that we haven't had to say, no, we can't do it for a really long time now.
So with the film forum site that you were just describing, which add-on did you choose? Did you go with Soul Space Calendar or did you go with Low Events?
Yeah, we actually went with Soul Space Calendar. The only reason is because we are more familiar with Soul Space Calendar. And we knew that Soul Space Calendar actually could do this really well, and which is the next point, is that Soul Space Calendar can do what I would call subtractive and additive rules. What that means is that let's actually come up with like the craziest schedule that we could come up with. Let's say that we have an event that runs every Saturday and Sundays until end of this month, but then next month it still goes on Saturday and Sundays except on the third week. But in the middle of the fourth week, we have a unique special day on September 28th or 29th, where it just kind of randomly kind of happens in the middle of all of this. And in October, we still go Saturday and Sunday, except for the second Saturday where we have a company picnic and we don't have event scheduled that day. Now, that's a pretty crazy complex rule, right?
Yeah.
So how do you handle that? The only way to handle it is by doing what we call subtractive and additive rules. So in Soul Space Calendar, within the unique custom field type, what you could do is you can not only define one set of rules, let's say, hey, run this event every Saturday, every Sunday until, you know, end of October. You could go ahead and create a second rule that adds to the first rule, or you could add a second rule that subtracts from the first rule, and you can have as many rules as you want.
Cool.
And when you can add these rules, it could be random dates where you could kind of click on the date. So you could do every, you know, it repeats every week, every month, every year. You can even do every day, but on a certain time, which is what the calendar calls occurrences. So you can't have these subtractive and added rules, and that's what we needed, right? In fact, the client was very impressed. In fact, they were using a third-party solution and a bunch of PHP custom, and it couldn't do half of what we could do with EE and Soul Space Calendar. Now, on the other hand, with Low Events, let's say, and it has all advantages where, let's say if you're using Low Search, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Low Search works really well with Low Events, and they work well together. So what that means is if you have a site where you need to go ahead and not only create these views, but also go ahead and say, you know, define certain searches for, you know, certain keywords. You could go ahead and do that.
Mm.
So they both offer something a little bit unique, but again, you couldn't go wrong with either.
So when it comes to choosing the Low Event versus Soul Space Calendar, you mentioned for you, for the Film Forum project, you chose Soul Space because of your experience working with it in the past. But is there a project or a situation where introducing these add-ons would almost be overkill?
Yeah, in fact, just to make sure, you do not want to use both of these add-ons together. So it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. That goes back to what we were talking about early on, is that you want to ask a lot of questions when you're doing calendar. Don't take any calendar project lighter than you should, because it often has layers underneath, just like an e-commerce project. Before we take on an e-commerce project or a calendar project or even a membership project, because it does involve a lot of importing members, importing content, now we're talking about data grabs of the world or Soul Space import or things like that, then we know that we cannot have just a few email go back, you know, back and forth and go ahead and think that we know the scope of it. So with calendar, we have to go back to the client, make sure that we get every scope and the details really correct, so that you grab, you know, you try to grab that one thing that be a make or break requirement from the client, and don't have a surprise and have that requirement come up in the middle of the project, right? So it goes back to that. You want to ask a lot of questions. You get all everything, and then you are able to then make a very intelligent and experienced response in saying which one to go with or to take the project at all. So again, I like to emphasize that portion of it, which is critical.
During that process, I'm curious, do you utilize like a standard questionnaire template for calendar that you've developed from experience, or is it it starts as a cold discussion with the prospect?
Oh, boy, good question. No, we don't have a standard set of templates for specific functionality like that, where we have kind of a design questionnaire or something like that. No, we definitely have a talking point list when we're talking about the projects in general, but not when it comes to calendar. It's just the way that I think I do it. I think it's partly maybe because we've done so many calendar projects that I know how to get those things out of the client. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You almost develop this sixth sense, and this is the same thing for e-commerce projects. So you almost get a sixth sense of, if you talk about this a lot, if you're doing a lot of calendar projects, you know what the client may not be able to tell you, or more accurately, they may not be able to articulate. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then we'll say something like, this is an important part of the project. You know, if they need to talk to their staff, in fact, that's the other part. I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the layers that we know that we have to get through is that events projects, the content is coming from everywhere. Everywhere. For example, let's talk about Woodley, which is actually a private school in Australia. And it is a project where all of the events are coming from several departments at once. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's an educational institute. And similar to Teal University, and some of you may be familiar with Teal, and that was actually an interesting, what we call a co-pilot project, where I teach EE, but the client may be coding, or I may help with the coding at the same time. And in fact, it's over a long period of time, and we actually build a site almost together, which is what we call a co-pilot program. And it was a first-time developer, and he did an amazing job, because he really picked it up well, but he built the brand new site on teal.edu, T-H-I-E-L.edu, and it's launched with SoulSpace Calendar. So, you know, when that happens, obviously it's exciting because, you know, he's learning everything for the first time, and I'm able to both teach and code at the same time. But even on that site, the client had to actually go back and ask the admissions department for event in their requirements, the academic departments. And so that's one of the things you have to remember, is that sometimes the client is not ready to make these decisions. Mm. They do not know. So you have to say, go back to whoever is going to give you the content and make sure that you have the right scope, because sometimes they don't, because they obviously don't realize sometimes how complex, you know, managing calendars just on the logistical side could be. What are some of the real key requirements? And you have to go back and say, okay, talk to those people and come back to us, and we'll discuss it. Without that, again, there might be a surprise, because it might be that admissions or the dean admissions that comes back in the middle of a project that says, oh, by the way, let's do this. And when you're talking about at that point, oh, by the way, we can't do it. You should have told us. You know, you don't want to get into that conversation mm-hmm. with the client. So,
are there any challenges or drawbacks to doing a calendar with Expression Engine and one of the add-ons you mentioned? For example, like performance on the front
yeah,
end?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we found when we were doing the film form site, was that, I'll give you a very specific example. You know, every movie has a showtime, right?
Yeah.
And at first, you know, we were all excited because we knew we figured out how to use the custom field setup and how to use the additive rules. And in ways that we weren't using it before, we actually found this little routine of actually how to set up different show times for each movie. Very excited, because that means later on we could build in a search feature where, you know, hey, I'm in New York for Saturday and I want to see what movies are around 2 to 3 p.m. And then it's going to give me all the movies around 2 to 3 p.m. Sounds amazing, right? Sounds great. Well, except when we did it, it really kind of had a performance issue. Mm-hmm. And because it goes back, if you think about it, every event has these rules, and sometimes very complex rules. And on top of that, you're also defining what SoulSpace calls occurrences at the same time. So each entry may have, you know, just a ton of calculations that go on. And then you times that by how, you know, X number of movies, and you times that by 30 days. Now you're dealing with just a huge amount of queries that go back and forth. So what ended up happening was, then we actually have to then lean on optimization techniques. So it could be CE cache, or it could be SoulSpace template morsels. It could even be a server-based solutions like Varnish. Whichever that you want to go with, it's something that you definitely have to consider. So to make the long story short, if you're doing calendar, low events actually runs much faster, at least in our experience, but still. whether you're doing either low or sole space, go ahead and consider an optimization add-on. Again, CE Cache works wonderfully. I know we all love CE Cache. Template Mosos also work great. So definitely make that part of your budget and part of your scope to do that.
Before we let you go today, Jay, I'd love to find out what's on the horizon, not only for EJ Design, but Creati.
Let's see. We have a lot of things going on. We are actually finally relaunching our site, and it's embarrassing. Because I actually was born in Korea, and I lived there until I was 13 before we moved to Boston. And I still speak Korean, and obviously not right now. But in Korean, we have this saying, is that this wonderful proverb that says, monks cannot shave their own heads. isn't that so appropriate? If you're a developer, like your sites tend to be like the most delayed.
Totally.
Project ever. That's exactly the way it is with our site. Our site is still on 1.x.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy, and it hasn't changed in so long. And obviously my convenient excuse is that we're too busy with work. And then that's when I get shut down really quickly by our CEO here. It kind of rolls our eyes, you know, deservedly so. So, but we finally, it's designed. It's on 2.6.1. It's on responsive. You know, all these things that we recommend to a client, we just never do it for our own site. So it is finally on a responsive framework. It finally uses Stash and Git and all the modern workflow and a brand new design. And it's launching. And I'm still writing content, but it'll launch soon. So we're very excited about that. And why we want to do the redesign and the relaunch is because we want to make sure that we emphasize our different services. For example, people know that we do EE development, but some of our clients actually don't know that we also do a lot of SEO work. We also, I think we are, you know, humbly speaking, but I think we're experts in doing maintenance sites. So these are our sites that have been built by another developer, but we take over, we fix a lot of stuff, we add a lot of stuff. So we do a lot of those work. And one of the other new exciting developments is that we actually have several pre-built or what we call turnkey websites. These are actually fully built out and QA'd expression engine sites. And where if one of our clients don't have the budget to do a full custom build, then we actually go ahead and have these. So this is not a template. It's actually a fully working EE sites. Mm-hmm. We actually built these sites to serve a particular market. So one has calendar already built in.
Oh.
And one has Brilliant Retail already built in. And fully functioning EE sites with everything that's in it, all hand-coded. And all we need to do is just change the design. So that is what we call pre-built or turnkey sites. And that will be under another domain that we have. So we'll have three domains. We have EJ Design, Creati, and this would be under drunkentemplates.com. I can't believe that was available.
Drunken Templates.
Drunken Templates. It doesn't mean we code while we're drunk. It actually comes from Drunken Noodles, which I love. Yes. So yeah, we're excited about that. Otherwise, on our Creati side, our advanced EE course, which we finished another exciting course in August. We just started doing Eric Regan's amazing multi-config. I know he was on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just so thankful. And I'm currently bowing in his general direction right now for releasing that to the public. Also, we added Stash, really much requested thing that the people wanted to add to the curriculum. And a multi-site manager site. So we're adding new stuff to the curriculum, trying to pack it in as much as we can, in addition to doing, obviously, a session on calendar and site optimizations and also a Brilliant Retail and things like that. And also, I mentioned the co-pilot program before. That's really not known to folks, so we'll probably go ahead and announce that as an official kind of service. Again, if you are a developer for the first time or if you're handling a large site for the first time, for example, again, teal.edu is a fairly large site, had to be launched in EE, but they've never done it before. And what we do is, again, I go ahead and teach and build it with you. Just like a co-pilot. And that's actually what's on the horizon, other than counting down until my March birthday.
Bring it full circle.
Nice. Well, thank you, Jay.
Well, you know, I got to say, Leah and Emily, you just cannot thank you enough for doing the podcast. I definitely want to say that. Because I recommend it to everyone that even the people that, you know, just may have one interaction with me on the free webinar, certainly for the students, although they know about your podcast already. I say, go here. It's, you know, I mentioned EE Insider, I mentioned Devotee, and I always mention what used to be EE Podcast and now Control and Clickcast. And You know, you guys are doing an amazing, amazing service to the community. We look forward to every episode. It's amazing the people, you know, that come on and share the experience freely, you know, with, you know, transparently, which is not the same in some of the other communities that I know of. So again, thank you both very much.
Well, thank you so much, Jay. And the same can be said of you, of the service that you're providing the community, especially with Createe. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
So in case our listeners want to follow up with you after the show, where can they find you online?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, I peek my head into the hashtag EECMS. My Twitter handle is at EJDesign, and it is E-J-A-E Design. EJ Design, at EJ Design. Or that could obviously email me at j@ejdesign.com or visit us at www.ejdesign.com or createe.com, which is spelled C-R-E-A-T-E-E. There's that dash E-E thing. So createe.com.
Great. Thanks so much, Jay.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Awesome. So now we'd like to thank our sponsors for this podcast, EE Coder and Pixel and Tonic.
We also want to thank our partners, Arcus Tech, Devotee, and EE Insider.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about Control Click, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Control Click Cast, CTRL ClickCast, or visit our website, controlclickcast.com.
Don't forget to tune in to our next episode when Ben Callahan is joining us to talk about responsive web design with content management systems. Be sure to check out our schedule on our site, controlclickcast.com/schedule, for more upcoming topics.
And don't forget to update your iTunes. Now that we are Control Click, we've ended the EE podcast feed. So if you listen on iTunes, you need to update your subscription. The link is on my show notes for this episode. This is Leah Alcantara
and Emily Lewis
signing off for Control Click Cast. See you next time.
Cheers.